Thank you. So this talks about a tributary, which is a system for using transient preemptible resources for elastic services with latency SLOs. So first, I want to tell you about the type of applications we're targeting with tributary. Some examples of elastic services with latency SLOs include web hosting, such as an online store, and machine learning inference services. And typically, these applications have varying client workloads over time. On the left side of the screen, you can see an example workload, and you can see that the requests per seconds vary quite a lot over the course of 5,000 minutes. So in order to be able to service all of these requests within a specified latency SLO, the application needs to vary the amount of resources allocated to it accordingly. So how are these applications typically managed? So what you do is you usually have a scaling policy that, based on the user request, decides how many resources the application needs in order to meet all the incoming requests. And then it sends this information to the resource manager that, using this information, decides, adds and removes resources accordingly in order to have the application be able to service all of the requests. So this diagram shows a typical architecture for an elastic service. The requests, the user requests, come into the load balancer, and then the load balancer forwards the requests amongst the resources allocated to the application. It also sends statistics about the incoming requests to the scaling policy. And you can use different kinds of scaling policy. You can use a reactive one that just looks at the current rate of requests, or you can use some predictive scaling policies that looks at past historical trends and tries to predict into the future. But either way, whichever policy you use, the scaling policy will decide how many resources are needed, and it'll send this information to the resource manager, which will then go ahead, add and remove resources to the resource footprint. And the resource footprint is the resources allocated to the application. But typically, the resource manager assumes that the resources it gets have uncommon and uncorrelated failures. So what tributary does is it removes this assumption. So why would it be beneficial to no longer assume that resource failure is uncommon and uncorrelated? So cloud service providers often offer cheaper resources to customers at the catch that they can take those resources away at any time. An example of this is Google Compute Engine, and the example I'm going to focus, which is the Amazon EC2 spot instances. So what they do is they offer the same exact physical resource at a cheaper discount, but they can take them away at any time. So if you just started using these preemptible resources for your Elastic Service without changing anything else, you might run into problems pretty quickly. So imagine you're running a web store, and all of a sudden half of the resource allocated to your applications are preempted. Half of your customers will no longer be able to continue shopping, and it's possible you lose their business. So you can't do that. So before I tell you how tributary makes it possible to use transient preemptible resources for elastic services, I want to give you a little more background about transient resources. So the example I'm going to focus on is the Amazon EC2 spot market. And on Amazon, there's two different ways to acquire resources. The most common way is to acquire on-demand resources, and on this graph, the black dotted line shows the on-demand price for a certain instance type. And this is what you pay if you want to own the resource for as long as you want, and Amazon will never preempt you. Now, this red line shows the spot market price for the same exact physical resource. And you can see it's very common to see a discount of 75 to 85% compared to the on-demand price. However, the catch is that Amazon can take that resource away from you whenever the spot market price exceeds the user bid price that is set for the resource. So some other important spot market details to keep in mind is there's actually a separate spot market for each instance type and each availability zone in each data center. And empirically, it appears that all of these spot markets are uncorrelated to each other, which is really interesting to think about. So within a single data center, the same type of instance, just in a different availability zone, will have a completely uncorrelated spot market to one another. And another policy to keep in mind about Amazon is if Amazon does preempt your resource within the first hour, they'll actually refund you the cost of that resource. So imagine you got a machine on Amazon and ran for 30 minutes and then they preempted you, it comes out at no cost to you. So the way you acquire resources on the Amazon spot market is you specify the spot market you want to acquire resources from, you specify the bid price, which is the price when it's exceeded by the Amazon market price you are preempted, and you specify the number of machines. And we call this an allocation. So within an allocation, all of the machines come from the same spot market and they have the same user bid price. So what Tributary does is it changes how we acquire resources for Elasticsearch services. Instead of using on-demand reliable resources, it acquires transient preemptable resources, but it does so while addressing the possibility of bulk preemption. And it addresses the possibility of bulk preemption by acquiring resources from multiple different spot markets, predicting the probability of preemption, tracking intermarket correlation, and maintaining a diverse resource buffer. And what this means is it acquires more resources than it needs, so when some resources are preempted, it still has enough resources to meet the application's current demand. So I'm going to tell you about the two major components of Tributary, how it makes all of this possible. The first is, how does it predict resource reliability? And the second one is, how it uses these predictions to construct the resource footprint. So how does it decide which resources to acquire and to allocate to the application? So on the Amazon EC2 spot market, it's possible for the user to influence the probability of preemption of the resource they acquire. And they do this by setting the bid delta. And what the bid delta is how much over the current spot market price they set the user bid price to be. So for a large bid delta, the probability of preemption is lower, but you might run into higher cost. For smaller bid delta, there's obviously a higher probability of preemption, but it comes with the possibility of a lower cost. So what we did is we created a machine learning model that, as a function of the bid delta, as well as some other features, such as what time of day it is it a work day, is it working hours right now, how much the price has changed over the last 30 minutes, and several other features, we create a model that models the probability of preemption as a function of all these features. So what we do is we plug these features into a machine learning model, and it gives us the probability that this resource will be preempted within the hour. And we call this the probability of preemption. So once Tributary gets these probabilities of preemptions, it uses them to construct the resource footprint. So it decides which resources to allocate to the application. And in order to do this, it uses it computes the expected request capacity. And what the expected request capacity is the number of what percentage of requests it'll be able to meet following any predicted preemption events. So for example, let's say your application needs 10 resources and you're using an SLO of 99%. Tributary will acquire resources until it has a 99% probability of having at least 10 resources following any preemption events. And the way it computes the expected request capacity is by using the probability of preemptions. So first, what it does is it computes the probability of having exactly zero to N resources not preempted, where N is the number of resources you're considering. So if you have N resources not preempted, that means none of your resources have been preempted. Then it multiplies each one of these probabilities by the percentage of requests that amount of resources will be able to service, and sums all of these products up, and that gives you the expected request capacity. So as a quick example, imagine you have an embarrassingly parallel application that needs 4 resources, right? And you're considering a resource footprint of 4 machines. And Tributary knows that there's a 50% probability that none of the resources are preempted. And there's a 50% probability that half of the resources are preempted. So then you expect the request capacity to be 1 times 50%, because if you have 4 resources, you'll be able to service all of the incoming requests, plus 1/2 times 50.5, which is if you have a 50% probability of servicing only half of your requests, if half the resources are preempted. And that gives you an expected request capacity of 0.75. So if the user specified an SLO of 0.75, Tributary would decide this is the resource footprint it needs and continue running until something changes. But if the user specified a higher SLO, it would continue acquiring resources, increasing its expected request capacity until it matches or exceeds the one specified by the user. So why does any of this actually work? So what always ends up happening with Tributary is it acquires a diversified, oversized footprint. And by acquiring diversified set of resources, not simply acquiring the same resource throughout, since the spot markets aren't correlated to each other, when some of the resources are preempted, it's usually not a large portion of their resource footprint. And by creating an oversized footprint, meaning it acquires more resources than it needs, when some of the resources are preempted, it typically still has enough resources to meet the current rate of request. And there's actually this nice secondary bonus of acquiring more resources than you need. Because if and when the scaling policy underpredicts the current rate of request, so it underpredicts how many resources you need, or there's an unexpected workload spike, those extra resources you have sitting around in case of preemption events, you can just use those to service any of the incoming user requests for which you hadn't allocated resources originally. So now I want to show you a quick example of how Tributary compares to using Amazon Autoscale. And what Amazon Autoscale is an Amazon policy of acquiring the cheapest, acquiring spot resources and acquiring the cheapest possible spot resource right now, and acquiring just enough resources to meet the current rate of request. So the black dotted line shows the current rate of request, and on your right, you can see Autoscale, and on the left will show Tributary. So at first, Autoscale acquires just enough resources to meet the current rate of request, and you can see that it acquires the same type of resource for all the resources it acquires. And this is because it always acquires the cheapest one possible. At the same time, Tributary acquired three different types of resources from three different spot markets, and it acquired more resources than it needs. And it did this in case one of the allocations that it acquired is preempted, so it still has enough resources to meet the current rate of request. So then after about 20 minutes, there's an unexpected workload spike, and you can see that Autoscale isn't able to handle those new level rate of request until it starts up more resources. But Tributary was able to handle those extra requests because it had extra resources sitting around in case of preemption. So it handles those extra rate of requests, and then it also starts up a new allocation in order to handle any potential upcoming preemptions. So then after 30 minutes, the rate of request decreases, so what Autoscale does is it terminates 2/3 of its resources. So once again, it has just enough resources to meet the current rate of request. Tributary, meanwhile, only terminates 1/4 of its resources. And the reason it does this is because it believes that the light blue and the light yellow allocations are very high-risk allocations at this time. So it believes there's a high probability that these allocations will be preempted. So it actually ends up keeping 3 times as much resources as is currently required. And it turns out in this case, Tributary was right, as both the light blue and the light yellow allocations are preempted. So then it starts up another allocation, which is less risky, in order to replace them. So in this example, you can see that Tributary had less missed requests than Autoscale, because when the workload spiked unexpectedly, Tributary was able to handle those spikes. But it actually turns out that not only did it have less missed requests, it actually had a lower cost than Autoscale also. And that's because Autoscale had to pay for all of the resources it used, while Tributary only had to pay for the red allocation and the green allocation, while the yellow and the light blue allocations were free because Amazon had preempted them within the first hour. And another important thing to keep in mind when looking at this is in this case, Autoscale was not preempted. So the resources they acquired were never taken away. But if and when they were preempted, they would be all preempted at the same time because Autoscale did not diversify its resource footprint. So that means it's very possible that at some point, if you were just using Amazon Autoscale, you would not be able to service any of your incoming requests, which could be very bad for business. So now I want to show some quick experimental results how Tributary compares to Autoscale across a certain number of traces. So we looked at four different traces, and here I'll show you results for the ClarkNet trace, which you can see on the right side of the screen. And we looked at three different scaling policies. We use a reactive scaling policy that just sets the number of resources needed based on the current rate of request. We looked at two different predictive policies also that try to forecast into the future the number of resources that will be needed. And what we did is we compared Tributary to running Autoscale on spot instances, and we also compared to running Autoscale plus a buffer, so it kind of mimics Tributary's policy of acquiring more resources than it needs. But for Autoscale, we had to manually set a buffer. So let's say we set a 50% buffer for Autoscale, and it needs to acquire, and the scaling policy tells it it needs 10 resources, it would go ahead and actually acquire 15 resources. While Tributary changes the size of a buffer depending on the probability of preemption of the resource. So this is a comparison between Autoscale, Autoscale plus buffer, and Tributary. On your left is the cost comparison. Those are the red bars, and we compare cost as a percentage of running everything on-demand resources. So on-demand is when Amazon can't preempt any of your resources. On the right is the number of slow requests. So this is the amount of requests, what percentage of requests you were not able to service within this latency SLO. So in both cases, being lower is better because you want to have a lower cost and you want to miss less requests. And you can see, so Autoscale is the leftmost bar and Tributary is the rightmost bar. And you can see the Tributary both has a lower cost and a lower percentage of slow requests than Autoscale. So then we actually compared Tributary to Autoscale plus buffer, where we manually found a buffer size that would allow Autoscale to have the same percentage of slow requests as Tributary. And you can see that the blue bars are for the middle bar and Tributary are even now, but the cost is quite different, and Tributary turns out to be more than twice cheaper than Autoscale plus buffer. So some other interesting results we found is that across the four traces and the three scaling policies, Tributary typically reduced costs compared to running on Autoscale of spot instances by 47 to 62%. And we also performed experiments to two of the state-of-the-art mechanisms for using spot resources. But these systems were not designed for elastic services the way Tributary was. So obviously, Tributary ended up outperforming both of them significantly. And we also did experiments where we removed Amazon's policy of refunding the first hour. Because for example, Google Compute Engine will only refund you the cost of your resource if you're terminated within the first 10 minutes. And we found that even when we turned this policy off, that Tributary still outperformed Autoscale and was usually more than 50% cheaper. So in conclusion, Tributary is a system that allows you to use transient preemptible resources for tasks that typically have required high reliability, such as elastic services with latency SLOs. And it does so by creating a diversified oversized buffer of resources that allows it to handle the possibilities of preemption. And it typically reduces cost by over 85% when compared to running to on-demand reliable resources. Thank you.
Thanks, Aaron. Questions, comments? Please come up to the microphone. The session is being recorded. You want to go to the microphone? All right. Just state your name.
Saurabh Bakshi from Purdue University. So if I understand you right, you are using a diverse set of data centers or zones for limiting your risk of preemption.
Yeah, so we actually use only a single data center at a time, but we do use many spot markets within that one data center. So we use multiple availability zones, and we use different instance types. So we usually use about 12 different spot markets at a time.
So there are certain other reasons why you may want to stay in availability zone one or availability zone two, like reliability or latency to these. So would this conflict with your design to spread out your workload among multiple availability zones?
So I think that would come more into play if you're going across data centers. So that would definitely affect latency. But since we're staying within a single data center, it generally latency, we believe, should not be a problem because a lot of your requests will be coming in from outside the data center, so it doesn't matter which availability zone it goes to anyways. But if we decide to use multiple data centers, that definitely would come into play.
Hi, Vadim Longinov, Futureway Technologies. My question is about, is there any available feedback that you can get from the cloud provider about when you calculate the probability of being preempted, or is it all purely empirical of what you actually experience?
So it's all about what we did is we analyzed a lot of historical traces, and we looked if we bid this much at the market price using the current characteristics, this is our probability of preemption. We don't get any of the feedback from the cloud providers.
Is it because it's not available in general, or you just choose not to use
it? No, it's because it's unavailable in general. We'd be happy to use that, because it's very likely if they provided the feedback, in the long run, it probably would be more accurate than our machine learning.
So you think there is value in kind of pushing for that feedback
to become
available?
Yes, I think it would be very beneficial to systems like ours and many of the users out there, but it's not available right now.
Thank you.
I have a question as well. So in your results, how much of those performance or so cost improvement results have to do with the fact that there's a refund for the first hour in case there is a preemption?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So we did experiments where we turned the policy off, and we found that when we turned that policy off completely, so when we did no refunds, Tributary was still about 50% cheaper than just running on autoscale with spot instances. So I would roughly say probably in the cases that we looked at, about half of our cost savings came from the refunds and half from the other techniques that we used. But it also, if you turn those refunds off, Tributary would change how it performed because it would stop being as aggressive on some of its allocations. So it would change the characteristics. It would typically acquire less resources than it needs because it would acquire them in a less aggressive way.
I see. So hopefully your results don't result in this gravy train being stopped by this cloud service providers turning off this really cool thing of the refund.
Hopefully.
But really enjoyed the talk. Great job. Thank you so much. Let's thank the speaker. There's more questions.
Okay. Go ahead. Thank you. John Dilley, Rafe Systems. So you pointed out that the diversity of instance types helps to insulate against helps to make less correlated outages. I wonder if in your price comparison you considered that you had to bid higher for larger instances. Say if you really only need medium instances of a count of 10, I believe your system will also bid for large or extra large instances. Did you factor that in? How does that change
so
the cost?
Yeah, so the way we bid is we actually don't, I try to make it simpler to say per machine, but it actually considers like per resource that you need. So let's say you need CPUs to service your application. It's bidding a per CPU rate, and if you're a really small application that needs only 8 CPUs, we would just not bid on the larger machines. We just not take those out of the equation.
Thank you.
Hi, Dale Lewis, Blizzard Entertainment. You mentioned earlier on about the refund policy for 1 hour and how, you know, when you turn it off, you know, when it's on there, it can be more aggressive. Do you optimize for that 1 hour refund by only having instances that exist for an hour?
Yes. We never take allocations into the second hour. So if we see that's 58 minutes or however long it takes us to start up the next set of allocations, we'll start replacing them because we don't see the benefit of taking something into the second hour.
Great. Thanks.